This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Okay, here we go, sports fans.
Afternoons on the Score.
Michael Felder, it's been an absolute pleasure. The listeners are loving it. And by listeners, I mean viewers in part. We're hanging out with you on Twitch and YouTube in your lair. I'm not going to ask you about the 2025 YMCA summer camp guide. Not going to ask you about that. Not going to ask you. Going to ask you about Duke's mayonnaise jars.
Why do you have that?
That's worth a lot of money.
We just take everything that's embarrassing and we move it out of here so it doesn't look like you live in Neverland Ranch.
I believe you have two commemorative jars of Duke's mayonnaise. Explain yourself. Three now. We're up to three. What the hell is going on with that?
Yo, if you ever had Duke's mayonnaise, you ain't had mayonnaise, dog.
When you don't drink, people always need to know why, too. They're like, you don't drink? Why? This never happens with anything else. You don't use mayonnaise? Why? Are you addicted to mayonnaise? Is it okay if I use mayonnaise?
I lived in Chicago for 4 years. Lolo knows this. And the reality is, I made deviled eggs and I made a potato salad for my neighbors. And they were like, how can it be this good? And I was like, it's the Duke's. It's got that twang.
He's right.
You know what they put on French fries in Holland instead of ketchup?
What?
Mayonnaise. I seen them do it, man. They f***ing drown them in this.
I've never had it. I've never had it.
You never had Duke?
I know. Michael.
Hey, bro.
I'm sorry. I didn't know.
Come on.
All right.
Got mayonnaise on your chin. What? Mayonnaise. Mayonnaise.
The official adventures of Spiegel and Holmes. Afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score.
It is the Spiegel and Holmes Show. We are here with you for another hour, breaking it all down. We've had a lot of fun today. Joe Cowley has been on the show. If you want to hit the rewind function on the Odyssey app to hear the blistering critique of Patrick Williams that Cowley gave us, feel free to do so. We have also been paying attention to the NCAA tournament. It's kind of the quiet part of the day now as games are ending. McNeese State hangs on to win against Clemson for a dollar, Spiegel. Can you tell me where McNeese State is?
Oh, boy. I think it's Tennessee.
Incorrect. It is in Lake Charles, Louisiana.
It's also no longer State. They changed their name last year to just McNeese.
McNeese.
Which I think is garbage. You can't just take State off your name.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. You can't do that. It's like, is Austin P just now Austin or P? You can't do that. You got to be who you are.
By the way, their coach, Will Wade, signed to be the new coach of North Carolina State as soon as the tournament is over. And I imagine he thought it was going to be over today, but it is not.
His
players responded.
Players responded. So he signed. Can you do that? Can you just sign
I'm sure there's a buyout. But
when college football coaches do it, they usually don't get to coach the bowl game.
They often choose not to because they are now on the recruiting trail for the other school.
I saw
a video of Kalen DeBoer's wife talking about how she went to go buy because he had no red ties.
This is the Alabama football coach, formerly at Washington.
Right. So he had no red ties at all, and obviously they had to scramble pretty quickly and get on a plane and go to Tuscaloosa.
Gotta wear team colors.
High tide indeed.
Gotta wear team colors at the introductory press conference or else somebody call hit and run and yell at you.
And so she went to one of the department stores near the University of Washington and bought some red ties. Uh-oh. And the person at the was like, really? And they were like, well, thanks for everything that you did for us, and congratulations Alabama job.
Enjoy these ties.
Because she
They're
said...
$5,000.
Well, she had said, like, the person there had said, some red ties, that means you're losing. And she goes, no, crimson.
Oh, man. Come on.
It hurts, right?
It's two on the nose.
It's two on the nose. When we talk about the tournament action heats up. College Hoops coverage on The Score is brought to you by Bet365.
And Will Wade, he goes by Bill, incidentally. Now, that's an old Score joke that I bet nobody out there knows, right? Nobody, Tanny, you're not with me if you don't know it.
That's tough, yeah. Okay. I don't know that one. If we don't get me, I
okay.
don't know.
All right, so Shane, we've got some controversy here, okay? Because I think that you're right.
Yeah, I think I'm in trouble.
No, you didn't make any mistakes.
I think I did.
About what?
So here's the thing.
About Tony Clark?
Yeah. Tony Clark made two NCAA tournament appearances.
Oh, no. Stop the steal, Shane.
While playing for Ohio Northern University.
What's with all those ballots in the river over there?
No, sorry. That's a different Tony Clark. We're good. No, we're good. We're all right.
Well, that's not what I was going to say. I was going to talk about McNeese.
All right, Shane, I'm okay. Forget it. And you're still wrong.
Oh, okay.
So here on the website.
Thank God I'm leaving.
McNeese.edu.
Yeah.
Right? But it still says McNeese State University.
Okay.
But here at McNeese, we ride for the brand.
Yep.
Is what they say.
Yep.
But that seems really interesting because their brand seems to be in question.
Maybe it's harder to change the URL.
Or is it McNeese State? No, the McNeese, it's McNeese.edu. But underneath it, it says McNeese State University.
Yeah, I don't know. We need Anita Ruling. Is Anita Ruling still here with the flowing robes, the grace? She's beautiful. She walks in, she makes a ruling.
Here's what I think it is, Shane, and you tell me if this makes sense. I think this is one of those things where they're kind of softly phasing out.
Probably.
So you've got McNeese, and all that branding. You kind of keep McNeese State in the corner just in case someone was like, hey, I wanted to go to McNeese State. It doesn't seem to exist anymore. So it's still there as they kind of rebrand as McNeese.
Okay.
That's what I'll go with. Sorry, we were going to talk baseball.
No, you're good. You're good. I was just checking on something because I...
More Tony Clark research?
No. Everything's good. Thank you very much. Shana, you're still wrong. Just to update, you're still wrong. And categories are still what
I feel
it was.
Like after a couple of days where we were telling Shane that he was right, that this seems a little unfair.
No,
that...
it needed to happen.
Progression to the mean.
It was bound to happen. Every year, The Athletic does something I really like. All the football writers get together, and then they talk to 20 different experts around baseball. They talk to executives and managers and scouts. And they come up with what they call the Aces Project, where they dial in on the very best starting pitchers in baseball and decide to rank them based on five different tiers. Because just because you're the number one guy on your team, that doesn't
make you an ace. It just means you're the best pitcher on that stat.
And I support that concept in full. Aces are very, very special. And pretty darn rare. An ace is somebody like, oh, it's win day. All right, here we go. And just because it's your number one doesn't mean it's an ace. So there are five tiers what they break down these pitchers. Tier one is the inner circle, the unanimous number ones. Tier two is the aces, pitchers you can trust all regular season and again in October. Tier three is what they call the doorstep knockers, kinky, the pitchers who might one day call themselves aces. Tier four is the number twos and number threes, those with lower ceilings but still high floors. These guys are really good, but they're not really aces. Then tier five is number fours and fives. It's everyone else. And they took 50 starting pitchers from last year, the top 50 starting pitchers in wins above replacement, and they added 30 more in terms of the guys who didn't get in the top 50 last year because of injury or are entering into solid rotation spots or whatever. So there's a pool of 80 for these guys to choose from, okay? Now, the content is great. The format is clunky. So I've gone ahead and looked through the entire list, and I can share with you what Cubs pitchers and or White Sox pitchers might be in the top 50 pitchers in Major League Baseball.
There's a White Sox pitcher in there.
There's not.
Okay.
There's not.
I have an idea who might be there for the Cubs.
There's three former White Sox pitchers in the top 10. I'm sorry I had to share that.
One of them is Garrett Crochet.
He's number six on their list of starting pitchers in all of baseball.
Did one of them just win a Cy Young?
Chris Sale is number four on their list of starting pitchers
and
all
of
baseball.
The other one's Esteban Loaiza for some reason.
Well, I don't know about that with old Steve. Steve's got problems of his own. He's working through them, though.
Dylan Cease is number seven on this list.
Sick.
Slide.
Oh, slider,
dude,
slide.
Seven. Thank you very much. 7, 6, and 4. 7, 6, and 4,
so
man.
So what you're saying is that there were, like, if you're Rick Hahn, you go, well,
I was right.
Well?
Uh-huh. And actually,
still waiting for those flowers from you, Tanny.
There's an alternate reality where those guys are on the same staff.
Yes.
Right. That's what we're saying.
You could have kept Sale, but like still traded Quintana and gotten Cease.
Sure.
And, yeah.
Sure. It does exist. By the way, Carlos Rodon is 48th.
Oh, well, see, so there's four. There we go.
Oh, man.
Now, wait a minute. Like, think about that for a second where you're like, yeah. I have all four of them on one staff. Johnny Allstaff, you know, it's a thing.
Yeah.
All right. So you were saying.
So I was saying.
Now tell me about Justin Steele.
Justin Steele is number 27 on this list. He's in tier four. Meaning number twos and number threes.
Does it say anything about him?
Yeah, it does. So it's those with lower ceilings, but still elevated floors. It says Steele missed time last September with elbow tendonitis, but made it back for two starts before the season ended. He gets better results than some of our respondents would expect based on the quality of his arsenal. Now, that is absolutely true. Justin Steele is not a stuff plus darling. He's not one of these guys with like, ooh, awe-inspiring stuff, but he's got the ability to change speeds and change locations and really control a game. He didn't do it so well in Japan, obviously, the other day. But yeah, Justin Steele is 27.
And Shota Imanaga is in there.
Number 25. Imanaga exceeded expectations during his first year in the States. Some folks who took the survey wondered if he would be more than a number five last year. Imanaga gave up only 5 runs in his first 8 starts. He throws strikes and his sinker misses bats. There's still some skepticism in the scouting community about whether those first 2 months were a mirage. But Shota Imanaga above Justin Steele. How's that feel to you to have Imanaga above Steele? Makes sense to me.
It makes sense to me, too. But I feel like, didn't Justin Steele finish top 3 in Cy Young voting a couple years ago?
He did. And Imanaga finished number 5 in Cy Young voting last year.
I probably would take Shota over Steele, but I would understand if Steele got mad about that.
There's only one pitcher, by the way, in their inner circles, the unanimous number one. Only one starting pitcher in baseball.
Skeens?
Skeens is number 2. It's Skubal.
Huh.
Tarek Skubal of the Tigers. It goes Skubal, Skeens, Zach Wheeler, Chris Sale, then Corbin Burns, and then Garrett Crochet and Dylan Cease. I know.
Just twist that knife, man.
All right. And then, Brian Bannister spoke today, didn't he, Tanny? Brian Bannister spoke today.
Tell people what Brian Bannister's job is.
He's essentially the director of pitching, although it's different in terms of the official title. But
like he's not the pitching coach.
No.
He's the executive that's in charge of pitching.
Your entire way that you think about pitching as an organization.
And he's really bleeping smart. He is forward thinking,
mm-hmm.
And he's someone who, if you're... there are a lot of people who were like, wait, shouldn't that guy maybe be general manager of the White Sox?
You know, he might be a general manager eventually. He's kind of like what Craig Breslow was for the Cubs, and now he's the boss of the Red Sox, is Craig Breslow. So here's Brian Bannister talking about two incredible young pitchers. The White Sox have the two best left-handed prospects in terms of pitchers in all of baseball. They are Noah Schultz and Hagen Smith. Here's Bannister.
I think it's pretty obvious we had two aces in recent times, two of the top 10 starters in baseball, and I think we're seeing new exciting pitchers emerge. So I wouldn't call any guy an ace so far. I think it's actually the strength of the group. They're all working together. They all have talent and upside. They're collaborating. I think our pitching department as a whole is very exciting just with the flow of information, the upgrades we've made to analytics, Jerry and Chris moving our lab down here with much better information, much faster turnaround times. In the past, it was a lengthy turnaround time to get good information back. Now we can get it back same day or the next day. So we've been able to make very fast adjustments with this group, and I think you see them all taking strong strides forward.
Do you need a guy like Crochet or Cease at the top of your rotation, or is that something you just develop along the way?
I think of the group, some will obviously take more steps forward than others, and you want to get to the point where there is a de facto ace. It's nice to have that alpha at the front of the rotation, the guy when you start getting back into the playoffs is leading your team, where there's no doubt that he's pitching game one. You want to get to that point, but I think at this point we have a lot of candidates for that guy in the future, and we'll see who steps up, who stays healthy, and who goes out and puts up the best season.
You're talking about aces developing, and obviously you have two pitching Saturday, Hagen and Noah, who've been very impressive this spring. What stood out to you about them that maybe we haven't noticed besides just their presence and what they've done out there?
I've probably been most impressed with just their calm demeanor. They're in big league camp. You know, it's challenging for anyone. You're facing better hitters. You put a lot of pressure on yourself to perform. But they're friends. They have different arsenals, even though they're both left-handed. So they're out there in different styles. But I think they've just walked around, not with an ego, but with kind of a presence that I belong here. I think that's what I've been most impressed with. They've done their work. They throw professional bullpens already. You know, Hagen's only been here a little while, and Noah's been here a little longer, but he's still young in age. But just the way they carry themselves, they know they're going to be big leaguers, and it's just exciting to watch them work.
They really do seem to play well off each other, and they've talked about that they have become friends in the short time knowing each other.
Yeah, you typically see them walking around with each other, and you know, I'm a big fan of power lefties, and they've gone out and done their job, but been more impressed with the work they're putting in behind the scenes and not getting too high and low emotionally. They really have this steady calmness to them that you see in some of the better players.
How close are Hagen and Schultz? And when you have two big prospects like that, there's kind of a tendency for fans to say, you know, bring them up now.
It's going to be a special rotation in Birmingham. You know, you have a lot of really talented arms. Even Wickelman Gonzalez threw a great game yesterday. You know, Grant Taylor's had a great spring. So when you get all those guys in the mix, there's something special about having them play together and building that camaraderie, knowing how to build off of each other, seeing each other, even though their arsenals are different, go about their work, sharing ideas, bouncing ideas off each other. And ultimately, in today's game, you know, you see it kind of falling apart at the college level. At the high school level, it's all travel ball. I think there's an important element to keeping guys together and having this continuity. When they get up to the big league level, you know, it's such a transient environment with so many players nowadays switching teams all the time. I think them playing together, them knowing each other, build something special, and that's what I'm looking forward to. And so I think when the time is right, they'll all get their opportunity. But for now, I'm really excited about them actually just getting to be together, knowing they have special qualities and they're going to be special players. And I think that will compound on each other.
It's Brian Bannister. It's a smart guy to listen to talk pitching.
He makes me feel like things can turn around, but I also feel like he's so smart that someone's going to be like, hey, Brian Bannister, would you like to run an entire baseball operation?
Could
he's going to go, yeah.
Sure. It could be, but maybe in the meantime, he will have revolutionized the way you do things, the way you think about things, urged you to spend money in the right places, set up some people, taught some people how to take over for what he's done. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of benefit to bringing in a guy like that, even if you only got him for a couple of years. And I think the Craig Breslow comp is exactly that. The Cubs are still going to benefit from some of the systems that Craig Breslow set up here.
Texers ask a really good question. Is Reynaldo Lopez on that list?
He didn't make the list of the
he
top
50. He finished 11th in Cy Young voting
last
year.
I know, and he had a 1.99 ERA. Here was the write-up on Reynaldo, because he made it to number 53 on the list. In transitioning back to starting after a couple years in relief, Lopez exceeded expectations, even if he did not log enough innings to qualify for the ERA title. Unfortunately for him, our pool of respondents remains skeptical about his ability to repeat this. Quote, he must be able to prove he can do it again and for a full season, unquote, said one scout. So he just doesn't quite make the list, even though he had a breakout season last year.
Man, that's one of those ones where I love that I was right about it, because that was a guy that, as a White Sox fan, I never gave up on.
Mr. Validation!
And I'm just like, he just needs to get out of his own head. And then the Johnny Cueto thing. Cueto got to the White Sox, and Cueto asked Lopez, like, wait, so you don't run? You don't run stairs? Lopez started running stairs Cueto.
That's right. Love
and
that.
His career turned around from that moment on.
Because he built some
base strength.
And
yes.
Some base strength.
Yes.
That's awesome.
I'm so happy for him. Like, it's weird because, you know, he's not pitching for the White Sox anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm so happy that he, like, found it. Because when he was with Washington, everyone was like, you know, I know they got Strasburg, but this Lopez guy,
yeah,
he could end up being something. And you're thinking when the White Sox make the move to get him, you're just waiting. And then it was like, is he a closer maybe instead of a starter?
Mm-hmm.
And I always wanted him to stay start. I'm so happy that he has found this level of success.
I will save the position players for another day for you and I.
Thanks.
Because the Aces, it was meaty. I really enjoy the project, and I think it's a really healthy way to think about the caliber and quality of starting pitching in MLB.
Well, the good thing is that the listener isn't left hanging, because Mark Grody is here.
We need to talk to him because his guy is gone.
His guy, Tevin Jenkins, has moved on to Cleveland. We're going to ask Groats about that next here on The Score.
Not many feelings out there in the world, you know. It's hard to describe it. Just being able to push somebody around and just put all your weight on top of them, just to, like, impose your will on them.
Tevin is very, very intellectual.
In person, I don't think I've ever seen... Do you guys have a skyscraper?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah,
I've never seen a skyscraper in person. I definitely want to go check it out.
Not that football players can't be intellectual, but he's not a big partier. He's low-key.
Tevin, you can tell what kind of individual he is. You know, the rookies put up the tree in a meeting room, you know. You should see what that tree looks like. You know, it's a beautiful tree.
Yeah, we got decorations on there with the... Was it ornaments? Ornaments? Yeah, I got a whole bunch of ornaments on there.
If you just saw a mugshot of him, he looks like he's going to engineering class.
A lot of things is helping that is me doing Pilates now.
Tevin Jenkins. All right, so can we talk to you about your relationship with Mark Grody, our Bears beat reporter?
Mark.
go.
Great things. He told me earlier, I'll say all great things.
He said to say great things. All right.
I'm doing Baconator, large strawberry lemonade, large fry. You get a 10-piece spicy nugget. And if I'm feeling it, maybe a frostbite.
Baked potato.
What we call skull sessions in the summer.
What sessions? I'm sorry.
Skull. Like skull. Like that. That's what we call it. Yeah. And like skull. We call it skull.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. And I'm not familiar with it. Skull session? Is that like an acronym, or is that just what they call it?
Yeah, that's what it's called.
Okay. All right. Cool, man.
Might be an acronym, but I don't know.
Okay. All right, man.
He's had pretty much the same girlfriend for 3 or 4 years.
Yes, my fiance. My favorite thing for me to make for her, my ribs on a new Traeger.
Well, give your fiance a big hug and take good care of her. And I really appreciate your time, man. Thank you so much, man. Let's do it again soon, okay?
Yes, sir. I really appreciate you.
We have a little bit of breaking Bears news here. The Browns are signing Tevin Jenkins.
He's gone, and we couldn't do nothing about it.
The fact that Chris Tannehill was able to get the Goodfellas treatment together while running the board.
Outrageous.
Of our show is outrageous.
Absolutely outrageous.
That is well done.
I mean, because these free agent moves, They just happen all the time during these days. They dance above me as I sink. I see them through a crystal haze. And this one happened early in the show, and we knew we had to talk to this man.
Yeah, we had to get Mark Grody on the show. He is our Bears beat reporter. He's a good man and thorough, and he is here in the Score studio. So, Groats, your guy.
But listening to that great open and tribute to our guy, Tevin Jenkins, by Chris Tannehill, I just realized how much he has grown and what he has gotten out of Chicago. He didn't know what ornaments were before he was in Chicago. He didn't know what skyscrapers were before he was in Chicago. He didn't know who Mark Grody was before he was in Chicago. So I think that this man, although I hate to see him go from a personal standpoint, he has grown a lot under the collective watch of all of us.
So you think we've done our job? You think we've grown the man?
We have grown the man. It has happened. Mark Trestman, years later, the man has been grown, and he is Tevin Jenkins, and that's why we must send him off into bigger and better Cleveland.
You like Cleveland?
Oh, you like that?
You think it's cool?
Oh, you like that?
There's only one skyscraper in Cleveland.
We looked it up.
Are you serious?
Yeah, there's just one.
Oh, what qualifies a building to be a skyscraper? Does anybody know?
We qualified it as above 80 stories.
Okay.
Well, that was our ranking, but Shane looked up the official.
Oh, it's 57?
At something like that. The official designation of a skyscraper might even be lower than that.
Holy cow, I used to live in a skyscraper then in the previous building to now. But so
not,
that's pretty cool to think
not
about.
Not anymore. So Tevin's going to be a big fish in a little pond.
Yeah, I guess he is. I was thinking about Tevin, though. On the serious side of Jenkins, do you remember the hope that he represented? Because it was Justin Fields moving up to get Justin Fields that year. Maybe the most exciting draft ever for the Chicago Bears in terms of that moment of moving up to get Justin Fields. Because when they moved up to get Mitch Trubisky, people were like, not real sure about this. We've already got the...
It's my year.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. Not so much. But they draft Justin Fields, and then they go get the offensive, the left tackle in Tevin Jenkins, who could have been a first-round pick. He fell to the Bears in the second round. So you come in with Justin Fields and Tevin Jenkins, and as good as things feel right now for the Bears, that felt pretty good, too, at the time, and it never worked.
No, you're absolutely right. Like, and that was a trade as well. That Bears pick came from Carolina in a deal, but I don't remember. Did they trade up for Tevin Jenkins?
Yeah, I think they did a few spots.
I think they jumped up.
Because he was, like, I have to go back.
He was thought to be a round one tackle talent.
Late first round, right, and then it wasn't shocking that he fell into the second round, and maybe that's where we should have had our antennas up. I'm not just saying about Tevin's career. I'm talking about the back issues that he had right away. And then, Speaks, you and I talked about this a lot. What was the phraseology that you and I used? What's the fatal flaw?
It was you.
It was me. Yeah,
you came up with it because it was an entire Bears camp where we knew they didn't like something about Tevin as a tackle.
Ryan Pohl specifically was the one who, and the more I think about it, like, what was the fatal flaw? The fatal flaw was that he wasn't Braxton Jones. Ryan Pohl's that year, if you remember, because I remember it vividly, being inside the Walter Payton Center during an OTA. No uniforms, nothing. Media's casual. We're looking out there, and all of a sudden, you see Braxton Jones starting at left tackle and Tevin Jenkins on the second line, and we're all like, whoa. And then early on, it's like, oh, let's not make too much of this. He became the starting left tackle, did Braxton Jones.
My guy and not my guy.
Yeah. So,
Braxton?
So is it a my guy and not my guy situation? But why wouldn't you move Tevin over or still think of him as a tackle? Was it because what does Braxton have that Tevin did not in Ryan Poles' mind?
Health, and I think that some of the
how about Braxton's smart as hell.
Yeah,
and Braxton has
ridiculous length too.
A lot of length. So length and smarts. I could see because Tevin was clearly pissed by whatever was going on. Right,
he was. Yeah, I mean, if you remember, there were reports about him in that early training camp about
him walking away.
At a report, I think it was Peggy something from NFL.
something from the. It's amazing. Something from the NFL.
We both went for it right away. That's her legacy.
That's so good. I had to give credit where credit is due. I think that was where I heard that. That he wanted to be traded, but then everything became okay, and then he really became a good guard. And believe it or not, last year, I want to say. Oh, yeah, he did. He started 14 games last year, missed three. But the problem, a couple things. Too many times where he went down in a game, and so he would miss. So that's not accounted for necessarily in the numbers that I'm bringing you. And unfortunately for Tevin Jenkins, the Bears just had to do something differently. They had to do something differently, and that's what they have done. Because
I don't have any problem with them moving on from Tevin.
Believe it or not, I don't either. From a football standpoint, I don't either.
I am curious on what the numbers are on that, because I feel like maybe you might have been able to get a deal for a guy that's starting quality, but maybe Tevin was like, I just need to go someplace else.
That's what it sounded like on the last day of camp. Her last day of the season.
Bingo. He knew it.
He was ready, man. And think about it. If you've played for Ryan Poles for this long after everything that went down on that in that first camp, and you've built this rep as a guy who doesn't show up enough, doesn't play enough, they seem to be doubting your pain tolerance. F you, man. And Tevin, I hope Tevin proves everybody wrong.
Or they give you $20 million.
That helps. A lot.
Who
Nate Davis.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was a terrible choice.
It's just going to play ping pong, man. Last words to me.
He's probably still playing.
Put a hand on my shoulder. Sorry, man. I can't talk. I got to go play ping pong.
You know, it's funny. For all the things that guys in the NFL do, and there's been a lot of guys that have done a lot of bad stuff, the one thing that is really hard for any player to overcome, they'll take you back if you broke the law. They'll take you back if you were, but if you don't play, it is hard for you to make your way back. Other players won't back you. Coaches look at that as the biggest sin. What do you mean? Because that thing that happened with him, where they were clearly like desperate for offensive line, and then he's a late scratch. Man, that's the type of thing that once it gets around the league,
dude, you're so right.
You're cooked.
He would have to, at this point, open his mouth, is what Nate Davis would have to do, and he'd have to be very clear and admit some things. If he truly wants back in, if he even cares. Does Nate Davis even care?
That's a great question.
But what he would have to do, guys, is he would have to say, yeah, I was a bum with the Bears. I was immature. I did some stupid things. I feel bad about it, but I really want to play, and I've made my money. I want to play. But does he? I doubt it.
Nate Davis and Patrick Williams. Kindred spirits.
Oh my God, I heard you guys talking to Cowley. Jarring to hear somebody finally say it. Yeah. Finally say it that they are out on him.
And he's basing it, he's adding the final piece of having seen him on the bench react in a certain way.
Right.
And after years of giving him a chance, it made all the sense in the world. Hey, for Ben's vision today, we did edge rushers. And we talked about a few different options there at the edge. And let me just ask you this basic question, because I thought it ended up interesting conversation within our segment. Mike Green, two times accused of sexual assault, once in high school, once seemingly at Virginia. And then he went to Marshall and absolutely dominated. He denied it vociferously, but kind of inelegantly, in fact, very inelegantly at the combine. Are the Bears in a better position to take a character chance than they were, say, a couple years ago with Jalen Carter? Obviously, very different situations.
Yes, I think the answer is absolutely yes. This is not a season where I would, man, this is really bold. This is not a season where I'm anticipating a 10-game losing streak for the Chicago Bears.
Let's write that down.
So, yeah, Riles, put it on tape.
I am not maybe a good 8-gamer. I can't promise you there won't be a 9-game losing streak, but there will not be a 10-game losing streak in the Bears' future. So, yes, they are more equipped than they were. And I have to imagine, too, that to some degree, although I think Ryan Poles' reasons for not drafting Jalen Carter felt pretty sound at the time, I think that this is a chance, would potentially be a chance for a make good, because he is a guy that can sack the quarterback 20 times in a year.
Somewhere Jerry Riles is like, what did I do? What the hell did I do?
Oh, come on!
Tell him to put it on tape.
I got a text, by the way, from Matt Fishman earlier in the show, because he got my, it's Bill, incidentally. I go by Bill. Bill, incidentally, from Bill Wade, former Bears Hall of Famer Bill Wade.
Old Bill Wade?
I believe Murph called him Billy, and he said, I go by Bill, incidentally.
Didn't he also call Walter Wally?
Yes, yes, don't call me Wally. Yeah, Murph had a thing.
Oh, that's right. Mm-hmm. Don't call him Wally.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's what you got to tell people.
And
sometimes
we can bring Riles and Murph together by Karch Kirily.
Oh.
right?
What?
What's the name of that show you do? Is that Generation Next?
Oh, ooh, that was their show. That was their show. That was Fish and Riles.
Fish and Riles. I thought you were in that too.
No, no, no. Fish. It was Fish and Hood.
That's Generation Next. You guys were down the stretch.
Yeah, me and Jason Griffin were down the stretch. Damn right.
Where were you when you heard the big news, Wally?
Don't call me Wally.
It's Walter Payton.
I love it because Walter Payton has the least imposing voice ever, but that's angry Walter Payton
right there. That was real angry Walter Payton.
And he likes to joke. He likes to joke. He's a big-time jokester.
Right.
He wasn't joking then.
No, I was like, okay, sorry, Walter. I'll never do it again. You're the greatest of all time.
All right, so you think, yes, in a better situation.
I do think that they're in a better situation for that. And you know what? I am still down for another guy who could potentially get to that double-digit number.
Oh, yeah.
I'm kind of sold. Like somebody told me on Odangbo, they were like, hey, because I've been not critical at all of Odangbo, but just asking questions because he doesn't have big sack numbers. Somebody told me, think Montez Sweat when you think Odangbo, which is great, but that's still not getting to the quarterback as much. That's making things happen, which Odangbo does. He gets to the quarterback by way of rushes and things like that, but he has not been knocking the quarterback down enough.
Maybe the idea is that if you have two Montezes, one of them's going to get to the quarterback.
Oh, God. Can you imagine the It's Montez segment if that
That's
is the Dio. Case?
That's two Montezes.
That's Dio.
That's Dio.
Poor Dio. Everybody's calling him Dio instead of Odangbo. I mean, like I say, like nobody knows who Dio is. So I think that we all, as broadcasters, have to do a better job of giving him his Odangbo until he's somebody.
And then
we can go Dio.
Dio! Pass rush, come, and you're going to get home.
No.
Bears, oh, come on.
I agree, Tanny.
What the hell,
100%.
Man?
100%.
Do you guys know on the clock is tonight? Because I'm sure you don't.
I knew that.
I knew that.
Okay, thank you.
I had asked you earlier this week, and you were like, yeah, it's coming back on Thursday night.
Oh, uh-huh. You did, actually, Lawrence.
Harry Belafonte coming up on the show?
A little bit of Harry Belafonte.
Probably not, considering.
No, but we will play Lollapalooza songs throughout the night.
You will?
Yeah, like I told Sean, I said, because I'm going to be on until 9 tonight, so I said, let's just do all Lollapalooza hits from this group this year.
Lineup came out?
Yeah, the lineup came out, so we're just going to play Korn all night. So, yeah, it'll be great.
Who else is on the show?
We will be having Bob Beeler. Old Bob Beeler is the play-by-play voice of Boise State. Ashton Gentry goes to Boise State.
Let's
so we
go.
Will talk to him about that player, other prospects in the conference as well.
And I thought there was one other guest. Did that not happen?
Oh, Matt Spiegel will
no.
be joining.
It's
not going to happen. Okay.
I can say I don't mind saying it here, unless you think that would be dumb for me to say. Yeah, I mean, I've reached out to him. It's not, nothing has been confirmed, but let's put him down as a maybe. So maybe Tevin Jenkins. Right, I have reached out. We'll see.
And you two are going to be together tomorrow.
Yes, I'll be filling in for you.
Yes, because I am going to Rick Camp's wedding.
Oh, that is fantastic.
My guy Campy's getting married.
Rick Camp in studio.
Yeah, I didn't think I'd make
the cut.
No,
he's not
going to
be in studio tomorrow. He's going to be up there sweating. That's what he's going to be doing.
I personally think you guys should have had the wedding at Real Time Sports in Elk Grove Village, which is where Circus Sports Illinois and 670 The Score invite you to. Kick off the start to March College Hoops with us tomorrow at Real Time Sports in Elk Grove Village.
Tomorrow!
Mark Grody, that guy, and me, Matt Spiegel, from 2 to 6 as we do the show live as the tournament action heats up. Enjoy every game, specials on buckets of Miller Lite and Coors Light, and more. We will toast to Rick Camp at some point.
You should. He's marrying a really wonderful young lady named Sam. She's awesome. And they are in so much love, man.
That's awesome.
Rick Camp, look at me right now. If you're listening, look at me. Congratulations, buddy. You're the best.
Congratulations.
He is the best.
Yes.
By the way, the show tomorrow is sponsored, not the wedding, but the show is sponsored by Circus Sports Illinois, sports betting the way it should be.
Tanny, how quickly into the reception
is Campy going to turn the conversation from us being happy for him
to West Coast basketball?
Exactly. Exactly. To some sort of Portland Trailblazers stat that he wants to share with us.
That sounds awful.
He's going to do it. We're going to be like, oh, Campy, we're so happy for you. We're so proud of you. Sam's great. And he's going to be like, guys, let's talk a little bit about what's going on with Golden State right now.
And for those who know, I've been told that it's possible that Modelo's will be making some sort of appearance as far as the motif tomorrow.
Over-unders on Kevin Durant references during the ceremony. 0.5.
Will there be a basketball-themed wedding? Is there going to be... Is it like Zawoski when he had the Blackhawks theme? From what I understand.
John Tesh is going to be at the wedding. That's the big surprise.
Also, and every dish has...
One, two, three, four.
Every dish has peanut butter in it. Nothing but peanut butter.
Teshi doing his little thing.
Teshi.
I'm super excited. Groats, thank you, sir.
Thank you, guys. Bye.
We got to go. We got to go.
Bye. That's fine.
We got to go. That's Mark Grody.
Okay.
He's coming up at 6 o'clock. When we come back, Tanny's got something for us next here on The Score.
Spiegel and Holmes.
It's LeVar Ball.
What's good? Triple B, big baller style. You guys go do your thing. I love your style.
Afternoons on The Score.
That's just baseball, unfortunately.
And then Craig Counsell. That's baseball. Well, that's just baseball.
Uh-oh. Is Dustino in mid-season form? Is that what's going on here?
Council annoys him. I mean, managers annoy people. Managers annoy Cubs fans. Managers annoy salty Cub fans who like to be annoyed. So it's kind of, they were made for each other in lots of ways, don't you think?
Here's what Dustino had to say now.
Did you have a problem with what Craig Council was wearing yesterday? Was that something?
Of course.
Well, explain that to me, because somebody mentioned that to me. I did not know exactly what they were referring to. Might have been Robbie Triano, who said, you should ask Dustin.
Who I sat next to for a good part of that
game. He said,
first I had a beef about the fact that they were the home team, and then they were in the Grays, and it's all about merch and yada, yada, yada. But then Council had on his short-sleeve hoodie with a long sleeve. But this is the best part. With, like, a long sleeve... Like
base layer,
right? A base layer top with then a short sleeve hoodie over that.
It? Yeah, that's comfortable. That's comfortable.
Put the long sleeve hoodie on. I mean, what are we doing?
No, well, I think
about,
what you're looking for is
a proper uniform. On Tuesday, he wore a proper uniform, meaning he wore the pants and the jersey
stirrups.
Tucked in. I don't think stirrups. I can get away. You know what I don't like though. What I don't get is why would you put like a stirrup underneath your shoe to have your pants basically going to the bottom of your cleats?
These are complicated questions.
But why wouldn't you if you did that on Tuesday?
Police.
I know you're like Mully's daughter now. You're sorry you asked.
I am sorry I asked.
He should have had the gray top on with the gray bottoms tucked in like a proper, instead of wearing, you know, the workout outfit. And again, what is with a short sleeve hoodie? Doesn't make any sense.
If your belief is that you want Craig Council to make the smartest decisions possible, you want him to be as comfortable as he can be. If he likes wearing the long sleeve kind of biker shirt, well, the cycling shirt, and then you put a hoodie over it and he's comfortable, you want his brain to function.
Well, then why did Matt Shaw make the final out of the game and Gabe Workman didn't use the bat?
Well, Matt Shaw,
I
had a bigger problem with maybe Matt Shaw where he was in the batting order, but that doesn't have anything to do with what he was wearing.
That's correct!
You just said that it was all about him being comfortable to make the right decisions. Clearly, he didn't make the right decisions.
Well, it wasn't... But
gotcha, Mr. David, gotcha!
I'm not linking those two things. Yes, I'm sorry. That's a
wrap. Oh, my God. There's so much there. Two things. One... Dustin is clearly the guy who, when Pat Hughes is doing the uniform descriptions, Dustin's sitting there taking notes, just like feverishly writing it down. The other thing is, the short sleeve hoodie, I think, is awesome. And Dustin, what's his number one favorite item of clothing that he wears all the time?
A vest.
A down vest!
With no sleeves.
Which is the short sleeve hoodie of down body coverings.
I'm surprised that Mr. David didn't point out that fact.
I mean, it's exactly the same thing. Wow.
I don't care what the numbers say. There's no way that a Cubs game on at 5 a.m. is better than that. That was in the 5:30 free-for-all, by the way.
That's phenomenal.
That was pre-pick six.
That's like, to have the energy and the content to deliver it pre-pick six. I mean,
Yeah, you're right. Kudos. Raise them up.
That is outstanding work. Wow. Go see Shane tonight. He is at the Wall. So go see him tonight. He is already on his way, making his way out there. It'll be a good time. Grody is in for me tomorrow. You guys are going to be at Real Time Sports in Elk Grove Village.
We will indeed.
That place is fantastic. I wish I was going, but I am going to be drinking Modelo's with my peeps tomorrow and celebrating Rick Camp. So have a good weekend, knuckleheads. For all of the people that show us love and support, we appreciate you, and the boys will try to repay the favor tomorrow at 2 o'clock live from Real Time Sports in Elk Grove Village. Bye, y'all.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend. Coming up.